Hey, let's get going. Come on, man. Unmute. Why aren't you playing? Oh, I gotta turn on the volume. Here we go. Wake up.
I'm so happy, 'cause today found my friends in my head. I'm so ugly, that's okay, 'cause so are you. Look on this Sunday morning, it's every day for all I care. And I'm not scared that my candles in our days, 'cause I found God. Yeah!
Well, good evening, good afternoon, good morning, and good night, fakeologist people. Sunday, January 11th, 2026. This is my little talk show I do Sunday through Thursday. It's just to practice talking, because in my normal day, I don't talk to anybody much. And I think I'm losing the art of language, you know, speaking to people, because I do type text to people, but those are just short words, short forms. So I really use this as a hobby just to communicate, which I think is becoming a lost art among the whole wide world, not just me. Mainly because people don't take phone calls anymore. They use texts. And that's a form of avoidance in communication, I'm pretty sure. And I got that idea from someone I'll talk about in a minute. But in the meantime, you're listening to Lithium by a grunge band of the 90s. I think you may have heard of them. They're called Nirvana. And we were talking a little bit earlier about the uses of lithium with our special guest, our returning guest, our Sunday guest. He has his own chair in the time slot on Sundays. Prophet of Fiction. We're talking about a world of fake nations. Hello, Prophet.
Hello, fakeologist.
That was a pretty good intro.
Yeah, I like that.
Did you like that song?
I listen to almost really no music anymore.
Well, this is from the 90s. What were you doing in the 90s?
I was, on my own.
Yeah.
Trying not to work, reading books, writing. Stuff I've deleted, and painting some, not partying, not doing drugs or booze. I think I mentioned that there was a period I spent as a recluse.
Oh, wow. In Canada?
In Toronto on Yonge Street and near Lawrence.
Okay. I know Toronto like the back of my, you know what. So I know I could probably tell you the address, because I know all the addresses from dispatching and driving around here. So, yeah, I know Yonge and Lawrence pretty good. It's a rich area, so I doubt you owned a house there.
No, well, that was maybe three of my 9 years as a recluse were there as a house sitter.
Ah.
Amazing little.
What was the street name, just for fun? I see if I know it.
It's like,
that's okay if you can't remember.
Something like
Deloraine?
Yeah, I was going to say it.
All right. I said it.
Nice, nice. Yeah.
I know all the streets, unfortunately.
Wow.
I apply the mean streets of Toronto now. I just stick to the 401 mostly. North America's busiest highway.
Right.
I know every pothole on that road.
Ooh.
And I still hit them.
It's been a while. I used to do delivery too.
Oh yeah, it's a great, great business. Well, yeah. It used to be. I'm hoping it gets better when they send all the immigrants home. Wonder if it'll make the prices go up. I doubt it, but you never know.
Should we tell Boris what the topic is?
Yeah. He always asks. And thank you, Boris, for your $2, your donation there. I appreciate that. Where are the chats? Wait, there are no. There are no chats showing up. That's interesting.
Only Boris.
I didn't see. Wait. I don't see anything.
Hmm.
You see chats? Comments?
Just Boris. What's the topic?
Okay. It's not showing up tonight in the restream. Sorry, everybody. It's not my fault. I didn't do it. That's interesting. You elite. Well, if you can see it, you have to relay it to me because I didn't see it.
Right. So, well, anyway, it's
software is so freaking flaky. I'm telling you, honestly, bane of my existence, software.
Well, just for Boris then, or whoever else is listening, a world of fake nation states is our topic today. I'll be looking at curious historical coincidences, flags, the names of our nations and continents.
All right, that sounds interesting, because I think the King of England and his eco-green fascists don't want nation states. I think that's the wars that we've been fighting over the last 150 years. I really enjoy that model, and I get that from Promethean Update. And of all the people I've heard that run the world, it makes the most sense. Not the Jews, not the Jesuits. I think it's the British Empire, which with all the lords and ladies and dukes and duchesses, they got all the money.
Yeah, and
I think they've stolen a good chunk of the money, and guess where they put it?
I don't know.
Well, they set up all these private banking islands in the Caribbean. I've been down there before. That's the only place I've ever been outside of North America, in the Bahamas. This place is built on private money, private banking money. And I think we're talking $50 to $75 trillion. That's that's 12 zeros for all those that like to add things up. What do you think?
We're on the same page about the aristocracy. I think they have Germanic roots.
Yes.
They spread, they took England and created the English language. But yeah, another thing.
I hate to implicate your former country. I think I think Dutch is knee deep, the Dutch.
Right.
And the Norwegians and
Swedes, the Danes, Germans.
Swedes, yeah. I think there's lots of people.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all.
Yeah. Western European old money. It's never gone away.
Exactly.
Money doesn't disappear. It just.
Well, and the mastery of technology, they master it and they control it. So.
Yeah. I think so.
I'll talk about that today a little bit at the end.
The only good part about the possibility is that Trump is, and the United States is pushing back through Trump, not because Trump is the mastermind. It's because he's a great salesman, and you need front men to sell to the people. Otherwise, they're not going to buy it.
Yes. Sorry. Couple comments. First, I did have a good time looking at churches, fake, let's call them fake churches in two cities north of here, well north. And I zoomed in on one of my pictures recently, and on the ceiling of a church, I couldn't make it out with my eyes, but thank goodness for a good camera. There they were, two European aristocrats sitting on the top of a church with their lovely ermine-lined capes and whatnot. Wow. What are they doing there? Yeah, they have to be there. Painted themselves. All these old world cities were occupied by nobles before they released them to us during the beginning of the Industrial Age. And all those beautiful, well, so-called beautiful old buildings, including the churches. But anyway, that's another day. I had a question. You mentioned the wars. Well, that's the wars are for creating the one world state. You did mean the fake wars.
Well, yeah.
Right. And I lost my other point. Trump, yeah.
I was just trying to bring the chat back while you're talking because I can't see any of the chat. So if you can see it, let me know.
Yeah, the elites are transnational. Thank you, Boris. In fact, recently I had to think about the word noble, and I think it's not coincidental that it sounds a lot like mobile.
Okay.
They are the mobile ones. They're not loyal to any particular country or even race. They are their own species, they probably believe.
Okay, I'm buying. I'll buy in you with that. Oh, I forgot to start my Substack stream, by the way. I'm trying to stream on Substack. If any of you guys are listening on Substack, well, you're not listening yet. I'm going to connect it right now.
Speaking of Substack, I did contact what's her name? Medicine Girl. You've posted one of her.
Yeah. Videos.
And I think she perked up, but she wasn't interested because, like so many, they are. She is. She has Christian blood in her, I guess. And but she did try. She has been trying to counter my work on cannibalism, and very disappointing that she's just buying into conventional historical narratives about people becoming cannibals whenever there's a big famine around. That's a red herring, and dismissing the idea that there could be a culture of cannibalism.
Okay. So,
just a heads up.
Where did you leave her a comment or something?
Yeah, I was interested in sharing and cooperating a little bit because we were both discussing Table of Elements, and then she saw probably that my Table of Elements interpretation involves cannibalism. So the Table of Elements, or Elementa, spelled with an A-I-L-A-L-I, it becomes food, right? Not, not elements. Anyway, I think I did that show with you.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, so sorry, the chat is not showing up on the screen tonight. I don't know why, so I'll just move the chat off the screen. And we'll just keep talking, no problem. I can now see the chat in another screen, but there you go.
Here's my the book for today.
You brought a book.
Well, yeah, I'm sharing my screen.
Encyclopedia Comedia. This is yours?
Yes, this is a very, it's encyclopedic, obviously. It's not just about books. It's about history, psychology, philosophy, and et cetera.
All right.
I think I've quoted from it before. Today we're going to the master's book, so-called chapter.
The chat is visible. Okay, that's good. Well, you know what? Why don't you keep talking? I'm just going to refresh the page, but it's going to knock me out for a minute, but I think you're going to still be in here. So let me refresh the page.
Okay.
And you can keep talking.
I will start the reading then.
I won't hear you, but I'm going to refresh because I don't usually like to refresh, but I have had to reboot completely. So I know the stream carries on even if I'm not here.
All right.
Let me refresh.
The illusion of sovereign nations. To understand exactly how corrupt, evil your world is, try to imagine that you are already living in a one-world empire whose primary weapon is confusion and illusion. Now, try to imagine that wars and geopolitics is all theater for the masses. Pure anti-intelligence meant to keep alive the illusion that governments and militaries are necessary and that other countries, not us, that's my narrator speaking on behalf of them, not us are your enemies, your neighbors are your enemies. Who are we? We created the mini-states of the Vatican City, the City of London, and Washington, D.C., and we exempted them from repressive laws we wrote and impose for your safety and security.
And by the way, I hate to interrupt.
Okay.
But I really think we need to look into and incorporate as part of these mini-states, we need to talk about the free banking of the Caribbean.
Hmm.
I think the fact that you can move trillions of dollars and hide it from all sovereign nations, I don't know if you could tie that into the City of London, but I think those are where the black ops are funded from. Just a thought.
Yeah, yeah.
'Cause nobody talks about it. So if anyone out there, including yourself, are willing to maybe try and figure that one out, that would be, that would, don't you think that would be a good angle too?
Yeah, I have a place for it.
Okay. I think that could be the real banking center. The dark banking center.
Right, right.
Because all these groups, NGOs, they're fun. Money comes from somewhere. And I don't think it goes through conventional accounting.
Probably not, no.
When they steal an oil tanker and sell the money on the black market, when they allow Iran or all these so-called rogue nations to sell their oil outside of the world markets, we're talking hundreds of millions of dollars, billions over time.
Mm-hmm. And they're immune to sovereign states, as you say.
Yeah.
Yeah. And well, by design.
Well, because they keep all the money. They don't share it with the people. If the people own their own resources, which, of course, we all think we should. We all logically think, well, why aren't we making money when we sell all this oil or whatever? That's all.
Yeah. And why don't we send our military down into those Caribbean islands and collect or in some other way, yeah, cut off those hiding places. Anyway, where was I? Just a reminder, the narrator of this section is one of them, not one of us.
Yeah.
Okay. We are the fake uniters and the real dividers.
Reminds me of the banker video.
I don't know it.
Oh, you got to watch the banker video.
All right.
I used to play it on my show all the time. I got to find it while you're talking. It's such a good video.
All right. We love to divide you into sovereign nations. It helps you feel special and independent. What are sovereign nations? They are our illusions and jokes. The word sovereign comes from sove, a Norwegian word that means sleep, and reign, an English word that means kingdom, ruled by a monarch. Together, these two words mean sleepy kingdom. Ever wonder why all your flags are so similar and stupid? Please notice that almost every nation's flag has straight lines. A few have stars, a few have a triangle or two, and a few have a circle or crescent. Why didn't any nation choose to represent itself with a single solid color? Maybe a white flag. Why doesn't anyone have a flag bearing colors that merge with other colors? Why didn't anyone express a sense of humor or refuse to represent themselves with a stupid flag? Can you guess? Because we know you love your stupid flags. Why do Italy, Mexico, Hungary, Bulgaria, and Iran's flags bear white, red, and green stripes of equal size? Five nations with the same colors and shapes. How is this coincidence possible? Did each of these nations with their unique cultures and histories decide that stripes of the same size and color somehow represent their culture and history? Oh, but the colors can be vertical or horizontal, and they can be arranged in different orders. Well, aren't we clever? All nations are jokes, and all flags are false flags. False flag tactic is also a false because all nations obey us. Therefore, all our clever false flag events serve to sow useless conspiracy theories about imaginary sovereign nations. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and last letters, and we love making stupid patterns for you. Didn't you notice that the names of the continents all start and end with the letter A? Did you know that A and A equals 1 and 1 equals 11. Africa, Asia, Australia, and Antarctica are examples. And the Americas is an exception, but it's made of North and South America, which fits the pattern. And don't forget Australasia. That only leaves Europe. We're so special. Which starts and ends with the same letter, too. E and E equals 55. Why is Europe special? Its name is a portmanteau word constructed from Latin and English words that together mean good rope. If you like Latin languages, Europe is Europa, which means good cloth. Catholic priests and monks were known as men of the cloth, and they helped rule Europe, and indeed the world. And centuries ago, you could be hung with our ropes, poisoned by our textiles, or mentally poisoned by our monks. Ever wonder what logic dictated our division of the continents into countries? Let's examine the numbers. I think I read something like this recently. Europe has 51 nations if we include dependencies and the Vatican City, but 52 if we add the City of London, which is not London. And perhaps I'm missing something, like the rumor that Oxford University is secretly sovereign. The U.S. has 50 states, but the word state is synonymous with nation state, or simply nation. And if we add Canada, Washington, D.C., and Puerto Rico, the United States has 53 nations. Africa has 54 nations, but it has two Congos, two Sudans, and Niger and Nigeria are really one, as are Libya and Liberia. So Africa really has 50 nations. Asia has 49 generally recognized sovereign states, but we could add Russia because most of its land is in Asia, making 50. Latin America has 19 sovereign states, but Mexico contains 31 states. So with a little creative counting, we have 50 Latin American states. Is the number 50 for three different continents and two linguistic regions, English, North America, and Latin America, coincidental? Or are your transnational rulers mad about numbers? We gave you the illusion you live in independent sovereign nations, but we no longer need nations for international war theater. In the future, individuals and small groups will be your enemies. Okay, a special on Europe. Why is Europe divided into many small countries? Why? Because many nations create opportunities for many fake wars as power shifts between different nations, monarchies, and families. Fake divisions prevent you from understanding that you are ruled by the same families, and this illusion helps generate complicated and distracting stories about war, treason, and royal succession, while the center of power always remains unchanged. But our lies and illusions are vulnerable to anyone with half a brain. For example, according to our lies, one generation before the First Crusade, in 1066, French became the language of the English court, which means the two nations were friendly. But little more than a century later, the rulers of England and France, including Normandy, pretended to be enemies and started wars, while they functioned as friendly allies during the Crusades. Two or three centuries later, the French language was eliminated from English courts, and English became the language used by England's government. This last lie helps create the illusion that England and France are sovereign nations. The Crusades were a series of wars fought by a union of Western European people before we divided Europe into nation states with hard borders. That means we were friendly during the 200 years of the Crusades. But historians tell you that after the Crusades, our Western European nations fought each other in bitter wars. Does that make sense? Do you wage an international war outside of Europe for 200 years as allies and then suddenly start fighting each other? It seems unlikely. We reached India and China in 1291, 200 years before Christopher Columbus reputedly reached the Caribbean. And the Vikings crossed the Atlantic Ocean before 1291. Does that make sense? Did Italians and Spaniards need 200 years to match the sailing feats of Vikings? Can we believe Marco Polo, a seafaring Venetian merchant, crossed the enormous Eurasian landmass in 1271 with what? A horse and buggy? That is a joke. Didn't Marco's countrymen build maritime empires around the Mediterranean? Surely they ventured out of the Mediterranean and found sea routes to India and Asia before 1300. Ancient texts claim Julius Caesar sailed out of the Mediterranean and colonized England about 1,500 years before other Western Europeans first sailed around Africa to Asia. Does that make sense? Did we need 1,500 years to sail past England? Obviously, we conquered the seas and oceans.
My name.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay.
Well, go ahead.
Obviously, we conquered the seas and oceans and controlled the world's coasts long before 1492. The Wars of the Roses, 1455 to 1485, shows that wars were fought by two sides of the same coin, or let's say two sides of the same con. This reputed series of civil wars was reputedly fought over control of the English throne between rival cadet branches of the royal house of Plantagenet, Lancaster, and York. The two sides were known as the Red Rose and the White Rose houses, and their heraldic flags were nearly identical. Why would enemies use nearly identical flags? There we go. I guess the shape is reversed and the colors are different. But really, you have basically a copy of your enemy's flag. Why does Switzerland's flag have the red cross of the Knights Templar? Because sovereignty and democracy are illusions.
And they have a square flag.
Right. It's not even a rectangle.
That's right.
Oh, they're so special.
And the inverse of it is the red cross.
Right.
Boris says American states have flags too. That's true.
American states have flags too. Yes. I think Canadian provinces just have.
No, we have flags. No, we have flags.
Flags too. Okay, yeah, with shields.
A lot of them have the British ensign on them, though, and the Union Jack in the corner. We are solidly a wards of the crown for sure.
Mm-hmm. The Union Jack is a special one. I'll mention later. It's the double cross flag.
Oh, that is right. That's what Les Luthor says his specialty on YouTube is the double cross.
Yes, that's where I first.
Okay, it's excellent. Yeah. By the way, John is listening from Honolulu. Hello, Honolulu. That's fantastic. And hello, Rain Rainbows Heaven. Chat, the best chat. The chat's working. I just refreshed the page.
Great. All right. We love to meet in Switzerland, Europe. There in the land.
Davos,
yeah, there and other places. There in the land of the Knights Templar, we hoard our gold and have our bank of banks, the BIS, some elite schools and pharmaceutical giants. And there we hold Davos conferences. And every year, thousands of heads of state and government, ministers and high-ranking officials travel to Geneva to attend more than 3,500 secretive meetings.
That's the WEF as well. By the way.
Yeah.
Allegedly, Trump just withdrew from 66 of these globalist institutions in the last couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that's true.
Nice number for sure.
Yeah.
But Switzerland is neutral during every fake war because we want you to love the witching land.
Well, it's mainly because we don't want to bother their reserves. They
yes.
don't want to be bothered by...
Yes.
I mean, if you're going to go raid a tomb, that's where I'd go.
Yeah, all those underground bunkers with
CERN. What do you think CERN is? It's a giant vault.
Could be.
Full of gold. There's nothing spinning around there. That's the biggest load of crap. I think it's a giant underground vault system. They just probably haul the fly the gold in Zurich.
Either that or it's just a joke, just as I think Egypt is now and so many other sites around the world.
They're Disney worlds, but I don't think you can go there as a tourist. I don't think there's anything touristy down there to go to. Do you?
I think I have seen a couple of videos of people going down and seeing something anyway.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm willing to entertain anything.
Where
is CERN exactly in Switzerland?
Is it very close to Geneva? On the border of France and Switzerland?
I'm going to look.
Pretty close to the border.
Yeah, it's right on the border of, where is it here? Yeah, France and Schweiz. Yeah, you're right. It's near Saint-Genis-Pouilly in La France. Well, Geneva's on the border, of course.
Mm-hmm. Geneva.
Geneva's right on the border, yeah. And Lake Geneva is split in half. No, Lake Lac-Leman is split in half. Okay. That's at Geneva's at the end of that. So CERN is, yeah. CERN is right at the end of Lac-Leman.
Mm-hmm.
You're right.
The name CERN or Kern with a hard C comes from another so-called pagan god, of horned god, of course.
Wow, it's right by the Geneva airport. And of course, right at the end of the runway is IKEA. But is CERN, is that their headquarters? Where is the vault, though? Where's the CERN collider? It's not, it can't be by the airport. It must be somewhere else. Well, maybe it is.
It's an imaginary thing.
Anyway. Particle accelerator is what it's called.
Looking for the God particle. I mean, it's just such a joke.
Well, the God, yeah. What does that even mean?
The God particle, yeah.
Does anyone know what that means?
It's a joke. How do you explain a joke? You laugh at it.
Yeah, but that's where it is. You're right. It's right around Geneva. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe the particle fake accelerator is right here, like they said.
Yeah, well, it also sows fear among people who really believe that it could create fusion. Mm-hmm. We'll have the sun born right there at CERN. A new sun.
There's the, oh yeah, I guess you're right. There's people walking around here. Who are these fools on the, these are famous scientists.
It's just an underground train ride.
Yeah. Oh, there's our buddy. What's his name? The goofball from Oppenheimer. Wow. all of Jewish fame or shame. Mm-hmm. Interesting. It actually looks like a Disney exhibit. Disney World's great for these things. You ever been to Disney World?
No, not even once.
Their exhibits are great for the rides. You line up in these in these kind of places. You're looking at props of the ride, whatever it might be. It could be a spaceship ride, so you see spaceship props and. That's what this looks like. Look at this, the wall of the tools. What the hell is all this? These are big wrenches, hex wrenches. What's that for? Yeah, I'm with you on the props.
Yeah.
I think I have my show art for today right here.
They have some special room and with the Disney World or Disney, the one in Florida. It's the
Disney World.
Do they have a...
We got lots of places there to
something
go.
Something Masonic there. I forgot what it was.
Oh, Club 33.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's that.
Mm-hmm. It just, and anyway.
It never ends with their BS, but that's at the top of the, I think, the princess's cap, castle in there somewhere.
Right.
Anyway, keep going. This is kind of entertaining me tonight. You're entertaining tonight.
Great. Okay. If you read superficially, in 1588, a fortuitous storm sank part of a Spanish armada bound for war with England. No Spanish warships were ever found off the coast of England that was supposed to be sunk. The alleged site of the sinking. Archaeologists and anthropologists provide no forensic or other empirical evidence supporting the historical claim that 5,000 Spaniards were stranded in Ireland and killed there. Of course they didn't. It's all fiction. The elites of Spain and England are both members of the world cabal. If you still doubt that sovereign nations are illusions, consider the fact that European nations were openly united during two centuries of crusades and two opium wars. After we crushed China during the opium wars, Chinese rulers were ruled by us. So when we needed cheap labor to complete the biggest engineering projects in North America, they sent their slaves to build our railways. When we needed Chinese labor to dig trenches in World War II, they obediently sent their slaves.
Yeah, that is true. Why couldn't, weren't there enough Americans or Canadians to build the railway?
They just wanted to sow the seeds of division and racism.
And why did they do all the hard work? Those are union jobs, aren't they?
I guess if anyone wants them, geez.
Tommy Rogers says CERN started off as a $25 million PSYOP, another BS cash cow for the minions, just as NASA.
Right.
And he also agrees with what I say, is that those pyramids in Egypt were built in the 1700s, 1800s by several militaries as another cash cow. Well, yeah, it's Disney World of Egypt. And all this mystery about how did the slaves pull these giant boulders? Well, are they really boulders or are they just paper mache? Remember paper mache?
I do, yeah. Well, they did probably cast some of those stuff.
Yeah, cast. You know? Exactly. Poured cast.
Right.
I don't think any 10,000. Where did we get the idea that 10,000 slaves would pull a pile of boulders?
Yeah, in the middle of a desert where there's no food and water for them. Good luck.
I'm going with the Ten Commandments movie, and I'm actually going to watch that because I know if my family has not seen that. My children haven't seen that movie, so I'm going to watch it again. It usually played on Television at Easter, but since we don't get Television here, I don't think we've ever seen it, or my children haven't seen it. So we're going to have a viewing party of the Ten Commandments because I think that's where we get the idea from Hollyweird.
Could be
of the slaves, right? Because they're being Moses being whipped by Pharaoh. Remember that?
Yeah, in the Bible, they don't build pyramids; they build grain storage houses or buildings. But I guess you can infer that the same thing was done with the pyramids. The funny thing too is if you assume that they are genuine crypts burial. Pyramids, then where are the names? Why didn't the pharaohs who decided to build these things put their names on these things? And even funnier is the pharaohs supposedly spent 30-40 years building these crypts for their dead bodies, so they would have started in their 20s or 30s. Really, a pharaoh, a leader of a country, would spend the most of his life building his crypt? Kind of joke is that?
Remember this scene here? This is the scene I'm talking about. Remember?
No, you've pulled something up. Yeah.
Remember the slaves are pushing the blocks in place? Or I don't know what the hell they're building
right
there.
Right.
See that? This is back when movies had, like Lynn Ertel said, cast of thousands. There were hundreds or thousands of people in the movie. No. Actors and whatnot. Look at all these grease. Look at them trying to. that's where we get the idea of the pyramids from movies.
Yeah, and that's, I think, as I said, linked somehow a little to the Bible, the Bible's account of the Jews.
Look at that guy. They're moving it 1 inch to a couple feet at a time with these ramrods.
Yeah, it's a joke.
Yeah, it is a joke, actually. That's really actually funny. Anyway, there you go. That's instant research for you right there.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. We're in the Americas now. During America's Revolutionary Wars, Americans, the fake secessionists, used the Grand Union flag, which closely resembled the flag of their enemies, the double cross Union Jack flag of the British Empire. There they are. Why did they make their flag similar to their enemy's flag? Because they were actually the same. See, you don't need to study the complex banking shenanigans performed by British bankers and their agents to understand that America never became independent and that the revolution was a revolving action and a circular motion that changed nothing.
You got the Dutch East India flag there?
I don't think so.
No, you got to get that. That's the American flag.
Okay. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
I think I've seen it before. Yeah.
That's the flag. Mm-hmm. Is it the Dutch?
You're right. You're right. I remember now.
Or is it the British?
But yeah, it's all connected.
The British,
it's all
one. India. Is it British West and Dutch East? I forget. British.
Dutch West, I think. Yeah.
British East India Company. That's the one.
The first two corporations on Earth.
the British East India Company is the Grand Union flag, according to that's the one you got to show.
Yeah, I might add that.
See that one here?
Uh-huh.
Right there. There's the flag right there, the company flag from 1801.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, look at that.
Yeah, they don't even make an effort to create the illusion of difference.
There you go. They just replaced a bunch of stars where the Union Jack was.
Yeah.
Got to throw that in your research.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to stop because these books are out of control and I've just dug to the bottom of the pit of hell and there's nothing deeper. Everything else is extra now and I feel like stopping.
All right. Well, you're getting it out on the audio now.
I've got, yeah, and I've got over 1.5 million words on these 6 books, so it's enough. Anyway, furthermore, hundreds of U.S. places, including states, are named after places in England. Who names their towns, cities, and states after places in the country that oppressed them? This makes no sense, not unless the truth is that England retained control over the U.S. and the Revolutionary War was fake.
Well, yeah.
The U.S. state of New England bears a ridiculous name. Imagine being abused by a man named George, King George, for 100 years before you kick his ass, and then you name your child George Jr. Really?
Oh, shrub.
That's George the same. Bush. Pardon?
George Bush.
George Bush, yeah. There's so many Georges around at the top. And it's another joke, too, because the word George goes back to Greek word for farmer. So these people on top really are not the people in control. They are the puppets. The middle class or the middle management. Anyway, really, that's the same as naming one of your states after the country that oppressed and exploited you for 100 years. But we gave America's states ridiculous names because we love knowing that you don't notice us mocking you. The state of New Mexico is also funny. We supposedly stole it from Mexico, but we let it keep its name. If France conquered a piece of Germany, would they call that piece New Germany? Wouldn't New France be more logical because it is a part of France? The entire northeastern corner of the U.S. is dominated by English names. However, the two states bordering on Washington, D.C. bear the very Roman Catholic names of Virginia and Maryland.
Yeah.
Could this be coincidental? Does the Vatican have its fingers on Washington, D.C.? You know, the Virgin Mary right around Washington. The U.S. state of Florida bears...
Don't forget New Rome.
Pardon?
Rome, Maryland.
Okay, that's in that... Okay.
Rome, Maryland became Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Can't get more obvious than that.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's called Rome, I think.
Or was called, eh?
And Andrew White gave the land or something like that. Rome, Maryland. Let me just...
All right.
Yeah, here we go. Rome, Maryland refers to the historic name of the land that became Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., named by early settler Francis Pope in the 17th century after the ancient city with nearby waterways, also referencing Roman geography, symbolizing aspirations for a grand American republic. Although the estate is gone, remnants of this history include Tiber Creek, which is now an underground canal. It's probably a sewer.
Wow.
The enduring classical architecture of D.C. intended to evoke Rome's power and democracy.
Wow, yeah, that's a good supplement you just added.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'll send you the link. Well, that's the Gemini AI overview. I'll send it. I'll put it in your in your thing here.
Next, the U.S. state of Florida bears a Spanish name, and Arizona is part Spanish, part Native American, and part Basque. Basque? Why would English-speaking Americans use foreign names for their states?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because we speak all languages and we love to mock you. For example, by naming the world's biggest swamp, Florida, as if it was a flowery place. Though Americans defeated Native Americans, many U.S. states have names with Native American origins. Idaho, another U.S. state, was derived from Idahe, which means enemy in Kiowa Apache, a Native American language. Isn't that funny? It makes no sense unless Native Americans were never considered a threat and they never massacred pioneers and U.S. soldiers. And maybe we, the world controllers, always plan to give most of the U.S. back to Native Americans.
Oh, yeah.
Including Native American animals and plants.
That's oh, right.
Yeah, don't be surprised. UN DRIP, UNDRIP is already requiring Canadian courts to support giving private citizen-owned land back to so-called First Nations, Native Canadian tribes.
Wow, you put some recent stuff in there.
Yeah.
Update.
Mm-hmm. In 1867, the U.S. state of Alaska was sold to the U.S. by Russia, apparently because the Russians feared the British might invade Russia, Rusia, via the Bering Strait. Ha ha ha. Are you getting your bearings twisted and confused yet? Why would the British invade Russia, a country they created? And why would they launch their invasion via the Bering Strait, the part of Russia furthest from Britain and furthest from the Russian capital, Moscow? This makes no sense, not unless we are mocking you. And please remember that in the year 2020, almost every sovereign nation on Earth obeyed our WHO's instructions. Didn't you hear Klaus Schwab brag and that he controls hundreds of politicians around the world for us? Didn't you hear that Jeffrey Epstein blackmailed dozens, maybe hundreds of politicians from an assortment of countries for us? Don't you listen? Do you believe American and Jewish financial elites funded the Nazis because they wanted to earn more money? Don't be silly. We don't need more money. We are not loyal to any nations, because all nations are our nations, and we funded the Nazis because we wanted to create a great boogeyman to turn your brains into stone or mush.
By the way, it was Daniel Carroll that gave a 10-mile tract of land to become the Washington Capitol. It was the Carroll family.
Uh-huh.
I don't think they're Jews.
No.
I think they're Roman Catholics. Hmm. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Why did American industrial tycoons transfer technology to America's enemies? And why did American military intelligence provide intelligence to America's enemies, including to the Nazis and to the Soviets and to the Maoists and to the Japanese? Can you guess? The full list of America's benefacted enemies is probably much longer. And if we add nations that bought or received American military hardware and surveillance technology, the list would include the majority of nations on Earth. Why would anyone sell weapons to foreign countries? Isn't that risky? No, it's perfectly safe because all countries work for us and all wars are fake. Perhaps I shouldn't overstate our control over states. Remember the great Haitian-African rebellion against France? The HA, Haitian-African Union, won their independence from France, right? No. What kind of independent nation agrees to pay its former colonial master for letting them be independent? Who pays for their freedom for 120 years? And who were the first presidents of independent Haiti? They were our stooges. Look at the clothes worn by their first three presidents, dandies and traitors. Jean-Pierre and Charles didn't even look African and proudly bore their European names. And look, Alexander wore the white gloves of the Freemasons, and Jean-Pierre had one of our fat stars pinned to his chest. And Charles had our stars on his silly decorative shoulder pads, his epaulettes. They're lovely costumes they wear.
Yeah. Looks like little Napoleons.
Indeed.
Are those supposed to be black guys or are they white?
This one looks like a hybrid. This Alexander looks a bit.
He looks black. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. If you are still in doubt, please consider that the title president did not refer to the ruler of a sovereign nation, but referred to an elected governor of a province or another group of persons. Did not originally refer to the ruler of a sovereign nation.
Moreover, I think the ruler was a king, wasn't it?
Yes, and even the word king has, it's still a puppet. The word king is related to kin as in family, and still darker or much darker, kine, K-I-N-E, which means cattle, sacrificial cattle. I make that connection in one of my, maybe already in the past, with the talk about sacrificial kings.
By the way, I just want to read quickly my little thing before I forget, yeah. If you don't mind. And that is Daniel Carroll was the chairman of the three-man commission appointed by President George Washington to find a suitable location for the capital city. A signer of the Declaration of Independence, Daniel Carroll was a Roman Catholic educated by Jesuits in Maryland and France. His brother, John Carroll, became the first Catholic bishop in America, presiding over the See of Baltimore. That's S-E-E. Mm-hmm. Which included Washington, D.C. John Carroll also founded Georgetown University, which, of course, is where all the globalists are trained, in one of the places anyway. So, and don't forget, the Holy See, they have embassies in every country of the world.
Yeah.
But they have no power. The Catholics have no power? Interesting, isn't it?
No, they're still...
They don't run the world. They don't have anything to do with the... It's all out of Israel. Are you kidding me right now?
No.
Exactly. They're a hidden hand. I'm sorry.
Well,
the idea that I think the Holy See in Canada has got an underground passage to the Prime Minister's residence. I don't know if our Prime Minister even stays there anymore. It's supposed to be run down, but they're connected.
Yeah, and
physically connected, I think.
And all the churches and cathedrals, basilicas built all over the world. And that was an empire. And well, they weren't even churches and basilicas, as I've started to argue in some other, or prove in other shows. They were the kitchens of the cannibals.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this is a very powerful group of people. And it's not only the churches, the Christian, the temples, but the Hindu, the Muslim, the synagogues. It's all part of the same cannibal system. Cannibal elites. All right. As I was saying about presidents, George Washington did not receive his presidential title until 1787, 3 years after the British used the title president in the title President of the Board of Control, which meant president of the notorious world-looting and world-destroying East India Company. In other words, the title president actually means president of a corporation or company controlled by Western European elites. Even the word empress appears to be derived from the Spanish empresa, which means company. And as we know, all countries are now corporations.
Mm-hmm.
All
countries, yeah, they always were, yeah.
Yeah, other people have done good work on that. I don't need to repeat.
Do you want to take a caller from a regular caller?
Or I'm running out of time. How much of this stuff do you want me to read?
Well, we got about 5 minutes, so
yeah, so it's not enough. I'd like to actually stretch that, but
we can continue it. It's good stuff. I like this.
Okay.
I don't want to rush it.
I'll skip over the Asia, Africa, Antarctica sections and go finish Americas and do the last chapter.
Okay. I have to put that caller on hold.
Yeah, if you could. My apologies. Where are we now? During the Mexican War, the U.S. Army routed the Mexican army, reached Mexico City, but did not seize the capital city of Mexico. Why not? They were satisfied with taking the top half of Mexico, which included several current U.S. states, including California. Why not take the entire country and continue south with a string of easy victories over smaller nations? Why not? Because it was not planned. We, the WC, needed a larger U.S., but we also wanted to preserve the illusion of enemies to keep the war machine profiting. Besides, the long-term plan was to destroy the U.S. after it finished beating and corrupting third world countries, making the world ready for an explicitly one world government. If you are still in doubt, please consider the fact that the U.S. Civil War was fought between the Federalists and the Confederates. We assume that the con in Confederates means against, but the prefix con normally means with. So we have the Federalists and with the Federates. Sounds like they belong to the same side. Indeed, leading generals of the two sides graduated from the same military college. And of course, they survived the war. Isn't that reason enough to be suspicious? If you're still not convinced, please try to explain why Anglo-American bankers and industrialists helped their enemies, the Nazis, build the world's most powerful army and later helped Russia defeat them. Wars keep the illusion of the nation state alive, and wars keep the people divided and confused. We have Operation Paperclip. I guess people can guess where that's going. George Soros' NGOs have a history of fueling violent revolutions, but nations continue to open their doors to his filthy feet. Why? Perhaps leaders know that no one will die from fake revolutions, and perhaps they are commanded to open their doors to our agents of confusion. Operation 9/11 was a wonderful false flag, PSYOP. It created the Muslim boogeyman and convinced U.S. citizens that they must sacrifice their freedoms to keep their country safe. Ah ha ha. They sacrificed their freedoms in order to prevent Muslims from destroying their freedoms by turning the U.S. into a Muslim state. The irony.
It'll take a while for that, but...
To sink in or, yeah, to register?
Well, for to become a Muslim state, it's going to take a while.
Oh, that, yeah. Well, maybe never. That's probably not.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen.
One world empire. I'm skipping over Antarctica, which is an easy evidence for the one world empire with all those countries agreeing on the treaty. Who needs more evidence that they live in a one-world empire? Perhaps the most glaring evidence that sovereign nations are illusions is the fact that not one nation is economically independent. Presently, every nation depends on others for its technologies and foods. So obviously, no country, not even the U.S., would dare wage war with a country such as China, on whom it depends for much of its manufactured goods, steel, and other minerals. While China depends on the U.S., on U.S. exports of grain, soybeans, oil, gas, machinery, and aircrafts, all countries are too dependent on each other economically. We created the BRICS. The BRICS nations are bricks, mere building material created by our Masonic arm, as people should guess, for Masons work with bricks. We have hundreds of globalist treaties and organizations that supersede nations. We have international banks, international courts, international police and spy agencies, international trade treaties, and organizations such as the International Potato Center, the Indian Ocean Tuna Commission, the G7 and the G33, Central American Parliament, International Women's Day, the Quadrilateral Security Dialogue, and hundreds more. And we have McDonald's, Walmart, and United Nations Octopus with dozens of international tentacles, such as the WHO and We have secret globalist agencies organizing the global organ trade, child trafficking trade, blackmailing operations in international schools, such as the WEF's Young Global Leaders, a school that teaches your national, state, provincial, regional, and local leaders to be good shepherds by obeying UN Agenda 666. Some nice images here of the satanic pentagon and an obelisk, obelisks everywhere over all over the world, and Moscow and St. Petersburg and London, and blah, blah. I've just written about those and
a lot of stuff there. Where can they get this book?
Just email me.
Okay, I got to put your email again. I know I should remember it by now.
But, yeah, please do. I'll tell you. I'll type it in the chat if you like.
Put it in the chat, and I will put it in there. By the way, if you want to log into my blog, fakeologist.blog, you're going to have to do it through WordPress.com, only because I can't keep up with all the what's called registration spam. Some hackers have a backdoor into WordPress sites, and they can register even though I don't allow registration. So it was driving me nuts. So I let WordPress.com handle the registration. So unfortunately, you're going to have to register through there to comment on my blog, because they have the horsepower and they have the money to filter out bogus registrations. I know it's a pain. You can still fill in the stuff yourself on my blog, fakeologist.blog, to comment if you want. But if you want to have a registered name, you got to go through them. And it's not that big of a deal, actually. Because then you can use that login for all the other WordPress blogs, which superseded Substack. I still don't really like Substack too much, but people do like it. And we're putting the site on Substack. We're not putting the site, sorry. We're putting this video on Substack. And hopefully people will watch it. I don't think I published it properly yet on Substack. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to try. But it does take time. It takes energy. Peter is GeForce Wiz.
GeForce G Wiz.
Yeah. GeForce G Wiz at gmail.com. And this was a more interesting show for me tonight.
Yeah, we can wrap it up in a few minutes.
Okay, I'll keep going.
of course, the democratic capitalist and dictator communist divide was our creation.
Yeah.
Create more conflict, yeah. More distraction, and to keep alive the illusion that we are not your enemies, others are. So the rumor that American technology was and is being stolen by Russian and Chinese spies is absurd. The technology is being secretly and deliberately shared, and allegations of theft serve to keep alive the illusion that your enemies are other nations. Isn't that clever? The illusion is so strong, you happily give your taxes and children to us, to our militaries. Various nations have space agencies whose logos bear the same chevrons. Is that a coincidence? The United Nations is already functioning as a world socialist, aka communist dictatorship. This was made very clear by the WHO. We directed an internationally coordinated response to the recent pandemic. Once the UN is established in every country, how will that be different from having US military bases in at least 80 countries? Lastly, 20 nations have agreements that bind them to the G20 multinational thing, and 193 nations signed binding agreements with the UN, and an unknown number cooperate with the WEF, and blah, 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 blah. But you still believe in sovereign nations, right? You still can't see that nations are nothing but bricks in the wall and squares on our Masonic chessboard. Presently, reputedly, all but two or three of the world's sovereign nations have central banks that are controlled by the Rothschilds, and the exceptions are likely controlled by another WC family. Oh, the AI race reputedly being fought between the US, Russia, China, India, Israel, Google, Global Corp, and others is also an illusion. All microchip production machines are manufactured by ASML, a company headquartered in the Netherlands. This means one company controls who can produce microchips. And because that one company makes no effort to stop any country from producing and having them, because our goal is to microchip the entire planet, obviously, we already control the entire world and sovereign nations are an illusion. Lastly, you'll like this. In case you are illiterate, let me expose the meaning of the words country and nation. The latter word was derived from the word nativity, meaning birth of a person. So native really means newborn, and nation is a collection of babies. You people, that's how we insulted you again. Oh, and the truth is worse. All nations are in countries because this word was derived from the word cunt, which is nearly synonymous with womb, which we spelled with the silent B, just like tomb, so that we mobile nobles who are faithful to no country could laugh at our cruel crypto puns.
Well, that might be a stretch, but it's funny.
Yeah, there are poets who I think like published poets who have played with this womb tomb thing in the past.
Yeah, that's from womb to the tomb. Actually, that was a phrase that I saw on some of the Somali adult daycare centers.
Oh, God.
In the last week, can you believe that?
That's disgusting. Yeah, I mean,
from womb to the tomb daycare.
Yeah, well, it's
so that was used very recently.
It also reminds me of the cannibal adrenochrome theme, where you know they harvest babies directly from the womb to the tomb or the cooking pot.
Oh, nice.
Ugh.
Tommy Rogers, you're in the chat. Thanks. You're from Toronto. That's great. That's cool. You got any more, or is that it?
That's it for today.
That was a good session. I enjoyed it. A little more energy today for me. I like that. That's cool. Mm-hmm. That was very good. Interesting. Fun. Sorry we couldn't take the call tonight. We had to get through it. So sorry about that, caller. You'll have to call back next time. And tomorrow should be Mr. Tim Osman. I can't remember if he showed up last week. I think he did. Yeah, he did. He was he had technical trouble, but we got through. I think everyone has technical trouble today. All websites and internet stuff is pretty flaky. My car wash app didn't work. This hasn't worked for the last 3 days, and thank God I have a physical card. It just shows you this technology can be turned off or screwed up in no time. Barely works most of the time, it seems, but we're so reliant on it.
Was there a place recently that had a blackout and all the
Berlin?
Yeah, and a lot of what was it? The autonomous vehicles parked themselves in the middle of streets.
Oh, that was San Fran. It was in the downtown area. It wasn't that big of an area, but it was big enough that it made them do that. And Berlin had a small blackout as well for 3 days. That's pretty crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, the world, our electrical world does come to a stop.
Well, I was on the, what's that peninsula here in Mexico? The
Yucatan?
Yes, and the whole Yucatan Peninsula went dark for several hours.
Wow. We don't even hear about that. That doesn't make the news here.
No, even though there's big cities there on the coast.
Yeah. Probably a lot of Canadians down there because it's so bloody cold this year and snowy and blowy. I guess you don't miss any of that.
I don't. We're getting our coldest day tomorrow. It'll be barely 20 in the afternoon. It'll just under 20 in the
frigid.
Yeah.
We got a negative 10 day coming up this week.
Mm-hmm.
That's the high.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. We're not meant to live in this crap.
No.
All right, so make sure you subscribe or go to Peter's, send him an email if you want. Yeah, I thought that was pretty good, Tommy Rogers. I thought we gave some good info today. That was good stuff. Yeah, countries are fake. I think it's obvious, though. It's we're all just colonies.
Mm-hmm. Or departments.
Human colonies.
Right.
Departments of the king. Yeah, I agree with you on the U.S. It's sad. But, you know, maybe some people do realize it in certain positions and they're trying to rebel against the king. I'm all for a real revolution if they can manage, but I'm not sure how they can stop it, really.
No, it's very big. It's going to be painful to unwind this beast.
By the way, I found that banker video. It's 5 minutes. It's obviously a satire, but this was from 12 years ago that I saw this. So I don't think this is the original. It looks like it's crappier quality. So it's a copy of a copy of a copy. But they just created a banker guy that read a funny poem. So I'll play a bit of it. I'll play out with a bit of it and you can watch it. But anyway, make sure you go to fakeologist.com/donate. I'd appreciate if anyone could help out. You can send me Bitcoin because I actually pay for FakoTube with Bitcoin. Don't you know? That guy is smart. He takes Bitcoin. So if you want to help out, send Bitcoin to fakeologist.com/donate. And I just pretty much bounce it to the guy on FakoTube. We're still using FakoTube. I still think it's worthwhile to have our own video backup. But as a matter of fact, I'm going to put this banker video, even though it's not exactly controversial.
Mm-hmm.
It's on YouTube.
Tommy put a nice note there.
Did he? Let me see here.
About the financial empire.
Uh-huh. What'd he say?
It's, no fiat financial empire has lasted more than 250 years. Well, I would say there's only been one, but that's a good number because, as he points out, this year is the 250th anniversary of 1776. And he mentions that there are 1,776 steps in the CN Tower.
Yes. They have a climb every year. People can give money to charity for killing themselves going up and down the stairs. Why go up and down the stairs? There's an elevator, isn't there?
It sounds like something I would do for a workout, but no.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a pretty big one. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Boris. Thank you, Tommy. Thanks, everybody. And we're going to play this banker song. I'm going to put it on FakoTube. And you can listen to the words. Actually, there's a transcript right here. So maybe, where is the transcript? Show transcript. Oh, it's on the right here. Okay. So I'll have to turn the chat off so you can see it. Let's see. Can you see it? And I'll make it bigger. Oh, I see. You got to turn the chat off. And then you can see the transcript. Okay, I'll play a bit of this. Pete, thanks a lot. Have a good night.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks, everybody. Here we go. Bankers Control the World by Montague the Third. And maybe I should unmute it. Let's see. Unmute. Yeah, here we go. Unmute. Oh, he's reading the book.
By Aldous Huxley.
Oh, yeah, it is by Aldous. That's funny.
It's about him, maybe. I don't know.
Aldous and Julian Huxley were big architects. Well, wait, one was the father, one was the son. But they were both involved in the WEF. The son, I think, had something to do with WEF. I was listening to, I forget. But they were, oh, right, one was set up UNESCO. That's what I heard today. And, right. You know, let me put those ladies on here, because if you want another conspiracy angle that makes more sense, the Lyndon LaRouche angle is pretty good.
What does she talk about?
Well, they're just talking about the British Empire.
Okay.
And how this woman here, Promethean Updates, she really knows her history. And they talk about it. I don't know if any of it's correct, but I'm going to put it in the show notes anyway because I like it. I like good stuff. It makes sense to me. So I'll put a link to that in the show notes here. I can click on that. Click on that. There it is. So you check it out if you want. And I will play this video by Montague the Third, who's reading Aldous Huxley. But Pete, have a good night, and away we go. Here we go. Hello. You're going to sing?
My name is Montague William the Third. And what I will tell you may well sound absurd, but the less who believe it, the better for me. For you see, I'm in banking and a big industry. For many a year, we have controlled your lives while you all just struggle and suffer in strife. We created the things that you don't really need, your sports cars and fashions and plasma TVs. I remember it clearly how all this began. Family secrets from father to son. Inherited knowledge that gives me the edge while you people lie sleeping at night in your beds. We control the money that controls your lives. Whilst you worship false idols and wouldn't think twice about selling your souls for a place in the sun. These things that won't matter when your time is done. But as long as they're there to control the masses, I just sit back and consider my assets, safe in the knowledge that I have it all, while you common people are losing your jobs. You see, I just hold you in utter contempt. But the smile on my face, well, it makes me exempt. For I have the weapon of global TV, which gives us connection and invites empathy. You would really believe that we look out for you, while we bankers and brokers are only a few. But if you saw that, you'd take back the power. Hence, daily terrors to make you all cower. The panics, the crashes, the wars, and the illness that keep you from finding your spiritual wholeness. We rig the game, and we buy out both sides to keep you enslaved in your pitiful lives. So, go out and work as your body clock fades. And when it's all over, a few years from the grave, you'll look back on all this, and just then you'll see that your life was nothing, a mere fantasy. There are very few things that we don't now control. To have lawyers and police force was always a goal, doing our bidding while you march on the street. But they never realize that they're only just sheep. For real power resides in the hands of a few. You voted for parties. What more could you do? But what you don't know is they're one and the same. Old Gordon has passed good old David the reins. And you'll follow the leader who was put there by you. But your blood, it runs red, while our blood runs blue. But you simply don't see it's all part of the game. Another distraction, like money and fame. Get ready for wars in the name of the free. Vaccinations for illness that will never be. The assault on your children's impressionable minds. And a microchipped world. You'll put up no fight. Information suppression will keep you in tow. Depopulation of peasants was always our goal. But eugenics was not what we hoped it would be. Oh, yes. It was us that funded Nazis. But as long as we own all the media, too, what's really happening does not concern you. So just go on watching your plasma TV, and the world will be run by the ones you can't see.